Hey everyone, this is Kevin with Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. Thank you for joining me back. We're going through Genesis. Really appreciate that you guys are joining. I want to begin with, first and foremost, just the two scriptures I want us to memorize together as people. We're going to start with Matthew 4:4, where Jesus is in the desert. He's being tempted, and he says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And the other one I want us to memorize is Romans 5, 12, and 14. That's Romans 5, 12, and 14, where Paul is writing to the Roman church and he says, hey, sin came through one man. And he's referring to Adam in that context. So if we can get those down, that would be great. We're going over, we have Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:27, Psalm 24, Acts 17, 28, Matthew 4:4, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And then we also have Romans 5, 12 and 14. So really appreciate you for doing that. Again, this is all going to come into play when we learn about how to meditate on God's word. But as now we're going through Genesis. So the first thing I want to start with is God's holy character. I want to start with God's holy character. It is very holy. In fact, the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Isaiah 6, he comes before the throne room of God. And he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." And the angel comes and touches his tongue. And God, just the holiness, Isaiah is overwhelmed and these things, these pictures in the Bible where people are on their face before God because he is a holy, holy and righteous judge. And so his holy character, what's that mean for us in the study of Genesis that we're going through? He doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. He's the truth. He tells us the truth. And Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. Romans, or sorry, 1 Samuel 15:29, also the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. He doesn't lie. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So not only does he say he does not lie, he also says, I am the truth. I am the truth. We can trust God. We can trust God. We're not, some of us have been hurt by our parents who've lied or pastors who've hurt us. God says we can trust Him. He is our rock. He is our rock. We can trust. We can have security, and it's in Him. And through that, Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. See, God promised us eternal life long ages ago, and it says He cannot lie. He does not deviate from his words. Hebrews 6:18, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie. It is impossible because it's not his character. It is not his character. We know when there's a police officer out there, we have an expectation that he's going to be above the law. He's going to, not above the law, but he's going to work for the law, and we can trust in that. God is even more righteous. He's not a fallen police officer. He's not a fallen presidential candidate. He is God in heaven, and he will not change. Bible says there's no shifting shadow in him. He does not change. He's not the flickering of the candle light. He's not the light switch that goes on and off. He is steady, constant. He is a rock. And pretty amazing. This all comes into play because when we're teaching, when we hear God's word, he's called commanded the Jews long ago, Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor take away from it. You shall not add to the word I'm commanding you, nor take away from it. You don't add, you don't subtract. This is one of the ways he protects his word throughout times. In fact, he says, if a prophet prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, he says he should be stoned to death because he was that serious about keeping this law. He did not want any falsehood. He didn't want anything. And the Jews were able to keep these scriptures all throughout the time because they would obey these things from God. Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Someone's going to be proved a liar in this study. Someone is going to be proved a liar, and we need to find out who. Last one. People are probably more familiar with this one, Revelation 22, 18, 19. If anyone adds to them, meaning the words of God, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life. See, if we add to it, he's going to add the plagues to us. If you're going to take away from it, he's going to take away your part of the tree of life. He's very serious about what goes in. And there's lies being spread throughout this whole world. In America, it's a lot of movies. It's a lot of people singing, a lot of people teaching on the streets. But in the movies, think about it. The Land Before Time. The Land Before Time is a cartoon when I was a kid. It talks about millions and millions of years. Millions of years. Dinosaurs weren't with humans, millions of years. However, directed by George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, it grossed $84.4 million. There's a lot of money in evolution. There's a lot of money in teaching lies to people. Think about the Jurassic Park series. I think they're on their sixth movie that's coming out. Millions of dollars based on the premise of, oh yeah, dinosaurs are millions of years old. Millions of, they didn't know, the man's never seen them. So then all of a sudden when they bring the two in a movie together, it's fascinating because, oh, I've never seen man with dinosaurs. However, the proof doesn't show that in this world. So James 3:1, the Bible warns, it says, let not many of you become teachers because you're going to incur a stricter judgment. Don't be teaching this to people. If you don't know, you're going to incur stricter judgment. It also says Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble and causes them to sin, it's better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown in the sea. If we're going to teach false things to kids, that's going to cause them to stumble. There's a dire warning for you that, hey, a millstone will be tied and be thrown in the sea. That's how serious God is about his word. But yet, it's okay to teach our kids, hey, you became a monkey. You're from a monkey. You were on all fours, and all of a sudden you started standing up walking. Dangerous, dangerous teaching. So let's get into it. Let's get into the time frame. This is a short little study. Again, it's just on the time frame, the billions of years. So let's get into it. Start of evolution. Comment from the internet. The Earth was formed about 4.6 billion years ago. This is what evolution says on Google. It was formed by collisions of particles in a large cloud of material, slowly gravitating towards one another. Life appeared 3.5 billion years ago at the end of the period called the late heavy bombardment. Humans appeared between 2 and 6 million years ago, coming entirely from Africa. Again, just these long time frames, these long time periods. Is that what this Earth shows? Is that where the proof shows? We've got to look into that. Homo sapiens lineage began from 550,000 to 750,000, according to Smithsonian Magazine, 2/2 of 21. Again, millions of years, hundreds and thousands of years, long time ago. But is that what this teaching, is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what our world and the proof and the archaeology and all the things show? Now, there's two theories that even Christians fall into. There's two theories that a Christian to make the world thousands and millions and billions of years old that fall into. One of them is called the gap theory, or it's called the ruin reconstruction theory. It says that Genesis 1:1 happened, and then there's this huge gap, and then Genesis 1:2. But how can that be? How can that be? And then it says God created everything after that. The other one says it's called the day age theory. When God says he made the heavens and the earth, and it says then there's evening and there's morning, day one. And it says he made the next thing, day two, evening, morning. Then he says it specifically spells this out in the Genesis account, chapter one. He made this, he made man, then there was evening, there was morning, day six. And a Christian will take 2 Peter 3. There's some Christian teachers out there that take 2 Peter 3 and says a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, and they insert the 1,000 years into that day and goes, it's not really a day, it's thousands and even hundreds and billions of years. Which is totally inaccurate from what the Bible teaches. My 7-year-old can read through that Genesis account and go, oh yeah, 7 days. Because it's all right there. It's all in the context. God defines the day. Now, if this is something you believe in, I'm asking you to reconsider your thinking. Why? Because according to Romans 5:12, our memory verse, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. The Bible teaches that death started at Adam. That means there was no death at until Adam sinned. First Corinthians 15, 21 says the same thing. For since by a man came death, by a man also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So Romans 5:12 and 1 Corinthians 15:21 both state that death came through Adam. So if evolution's true and the survival of the fittest comes before that, and there was death before that, that is heresy. That is heretical. That should be rejected. Because death did not start until Adam came. In fact, you can see that when Adam and Eve sinned, the first death you see is it says God clothed them with animal skins. After the fig leaves, God clothed them with animal skins. That means there was a blood sacrifice, there was death, and it covered their sin. That is when death began. And then the next chapter, that was chapter 3 of Genesis, chapter 4, you have Cain and Abel, where Cain kills Abel. And then you go into Genesis 5, and then it says, this begat this, and he died. This begat this, and he died. And it gives a genealogy. This person begat this person, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, because there was death, there was destruction. But God, in Genesis 1:31, he says he made everything, and he saw it was very good. You cannot see all the death that we have in this world and call it very good. There was no death prior to Adam sinning. So the question would be a theological question, if there is evolution, or if those two theories are correct, or one of those theories are correct, what was the point in Jesus coming to die? He died because of the sin of Adam that spread to all men. But if there's death prior to that, what was the point of Jesus coming? There wasn't one. There wasn't one. It's heretical. We got to get rid of that. And if we teach that to others, we need to be warned about the scriptures we read earlier, saying, hey, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, better is he who has a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. Because if you're telling kids that death came before Adam, you're not being biblical. You're not biblically accurate. Creation timeline. Jesus also teaches us when the beginning of creation began. If you look at Matthew 19, 4 through 5, and Mark 10, 6, in the context, Jesus is talking about marriage. And he's talking about, he's answering the Pharisees' question. And he's talking about marriage. He's talking about, a divorce. And he quotes Genesis. So Matthew 19, 4 through 5, Mark 10, 6. I'm just going to read these. And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? So look at that. Created them from the beginning and made them male and female. So in the beginning, he made male and female. Mark 10, 6, same thing. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Because that is when creation began, when he made male and female. These two views are diametrically opposed. They're diametrically opposed. Jesus tells you the beginning of creation is around the time they made male and female. The beginning of creation is the first 7 days. Like we quoted in Exodus 20:12, it says God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. He's telling us he made these in 6 days. Let's go over one other thing I'd like to go over is the day Yom in the Hebrew. And the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the day Yom, it's used over 700 times in the Old Testament as what? Evening and morning, a day. It's defined as a day. And it's, like I said, 700 times. It states in Genesis 1, 6 times. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And then it says a second day, a third day, up to a sixth day. Like I said before, God stated through Moses in Exodus 20, verse 11, 4 and 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. That's not 6 million years old, 6 billions of years old, 6,000s of hundreds and millions and quadrillion years old. 6 days, and it says he rested on the seventh, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. He defines the whole thing. Exodus 20, verse 11. I'm going to read this again. 4 and 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. In the context of Scripture, God defines a day, evening and morning, day one, evening and morning, day two. The word in yom in the Hebrew, it's used for the word day throughout the entire Old Testament. Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day, yom of the month. Not only does he use 600th year of Noah's life, and then the second month, and then the 17th day of the month. 17th day of the month, yom. Moses, it says he went up on the mountain to be with God for 40 days. He didn't go up there for 40,000 years, 40 millions of years, 40 days, and that was it. Joshua marched around Jericho 7 days. It doesn't say 7,000 days, 70,000 years, 70 million years. He went 70 days, and the walls of Jericho came down. It's defined as a day. When God created the world in 6 days, this stressed the order and logical relationship between the different components of creation and provided a divine pattern for man's 6-day work week. So even now, we have a 7-day week, work 5 or 6 days, and then rest on the seventh. That is how God created and made it logical for us to follow. Now, some people might say, I don't believe that. I don't believe how God made these things. Yes, it's a miracle. He spoke them into place. Is that right? The word universe, one sentence, one word. He spoke and it occurred. Let there be light, and there was light. God is powerful. God is powerful. And we're going to go over some of the archaeological proof. We're going to go over some of the stories. We're going to go over some other cultures and see what their creation stories are. I want to just talk about a book. It's called Echoes of Ararat. It's 300 cultures in North and South America. And they talk about different things in the Bible. But one of the ones I want to just hone in on is the creation story. You know, when the world split, and we're going to get into some of that, the Tower of Babel, and nations went out from the Tower of Babel, a lot of these people had the same stories, that central place where the world began, near the Tower of Babel, and then they all spread out from there and went and inhabited the earth. And some of these stories that were in there were taken to these places, these far places, Australia, China, Japan, North, South America, Canada, Mexico. And some of these stories still ring true. And there, so I want to just read it. So in this book, Echoes of Ararat, there's missionary, there's a person that collected these stories, and he brings them together of these different tribes of missionaries that were talking to them, and he said, "Hey, tell us how you were created." And they this be the traditions of their tribes agree with the same things that Genesis 1 talks about. I just want to read a couple of these to you. There were some Presbyterian missionaries with Mongolian and Uyghurian tribes of Alaska. Have a story of the original chaos. Original chaos is when the time, when God, basically the waters were going, and that's what it's talking about. The first dividing waters and the creation of the heavenly bodies, plants, animals, and nearly every Mosaic order of succession. So there's these Presbyterian missionaries around the 1800s that went to talk to these Mongolian, Uyghurian tribes of Alaska, and they had a creation story that pretty much went almost in succession with Moses' tale. How does that happen in Alaska? Another story, Moravian missionaries on Greenland in 1933, there's these natives told of the first man, Kalik, who sprung out of the earth, and his wife sprung from his thumb. The woman is said to have brought death into the world. Sound like the biblical account? Adam's created, the wife, Eve, is pulled from his rib, and then she's the one that's deceived by the serpent, and then Adam falls as well, bringing death. Let me repeat this. Let me tell this one. It's called the Net Silik, Arctic coast of Canada. The Net Silik people told a Danish explorer named Knud Rasmussen in 1923 that woman was made by man. Where would you get that? You don't just make that up. Woman was made by man. Blackfeet in Northwest Montana, Blackfeet people. Indian tribe in Northwest Montana, 1900, told George Ginnell, Creator's son made a wife for himself out of mud, which came to life when he blew into the nostrils of the wooden figure, just like God says, breathe in Adam and Eve the breath of life. She was tempted by a snake man who deceived her to disobey the creator, but he was merciful and wise and forgave her. Amazing. Amazing. She was deceived by a snake man, but then the all-wise creator forgave her. Just like I said, God provided a cheat. How would these people in Greenland, 1733, understand or know this? Where would they get this story from? Sorry, not Greenland. I apologize. The Arctic coast of Canada in 1923. I apologize. Blackfeet in Northwest Montana, 1900. The Shawnee tribe in Ohio River Valley, Charles Bluejacket, knowledgeable about the tribe's tradition, shared with Methodist missionary J. Spencer between 1858 and 1860. The Great Spirit made the first man and was breathed into their nostrils, and they all became alive. They all have this story that, all their many of them have this story that they're breathed into their nostrils, given life. Next one, Atakapa people in Louisiana. There's God, their God, whose name means master of breath, created the first man out of clay on the hill, just like God made man from the dirt. Then he directed the water off of the earth for the newly created human race to inhabit. Again, created man from the dirt, and he cleared the earth that man could come live on it. Last one, Acerini people from Para in northern Brazil. Mahaira, the creator God, who removed his own rib, transforming it into a woman, which allowed the human population to increase. Where would you get that story? That the biblical account, all the way in Israel, near Babylon, near Israel, near Turkey. How would someone in Brazil get that story of where man, woman was created from man's rib that allowed them to populate? Pretty amazing. One last thing, and we'll end up here. There's an artifact called the Enuma Elish, known as Seven Tablets of Creation. It was likely written 500 years prior to Genesis. So this is 500 years before Moses even wrote this, or before even the Genesis story account occurred. People in Iraq, they believed in creation, but also that it took 6 days. In 1845, Henry Layard, excavating ancient ruins around Nineveh, he also discovered a black obelisk, which is this black, tall artifact, and it's got some like writing on it, for the Lachish relief. So this is another artifact. It was a library that belonged to the Assyrian king around ancient Nineveh and Mosul in Iraq. There were thousands of tablet fragments of different texts. Enuma Elish means "went above, went on high." These are the first words on the tablet. It was on seven separate tablets, 7 days to creation week. On the tablets, it is similar to the order of creation. So these seven tablets, it replicates the order of creation that Moses wrote. On the tablets, it's similar, but also evidence of creation that mimics the 7 days. This was written before Moses was born. So seven tablets, they describe the earth as having no form and being empty, like Genesis 1:2. Order of creation on each tablet. Number one was light. Number day two, sky. Number three, dry land. Plants, four, sun, moon, stars. Five, the beasts of the sea and the birds. And number six, man. Creation of man is on sixth tablet. On the seventh tablet says how great creation is and how great God is. It's very good. Like it says in the Bible, it's very good. So Moses, whether he got it from these tablets or stories passed down, wasn't the only people group that believed that creation came. Now, this is in Babylon. They have their gods mixed in there and some other different stories, but the creation story mimics the biblical account. So there are people in the world, non-Jewish, that believed in the creation account, 6 days and the seventh day being called very good by their God. Babylon, like I said, Babylonians also mixed in their pagan beliefs. These tablets are proof that ancient people knew there was an almighty God who created everything. The conclusion of all this. First of all, we need to figure out and teach what is accurate to the Bible, not experience, not, what our grandfathers told us, but what the biblical account is. God says he made the earth and the world and the heavens in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We need to trust him at his word. And we need to be careful who we're teaching these things to. If we cannot trust God, what he said in the beginning, how can we trust God about what he says in the end or about the present time? Back to the gap in the day age theory, if these are correct and there is death before Adam, we are holding on to heretical teaching as there was no death prior to the sin of Adam and Eve. Again, thank you so much for joining me on Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith in God. We're just navigating this world through the lamp of God's word. Thank you for joining us. You have a great day.